I expected a welcome, but not sirens. What a delight it is to be here today to help you celebrate 150 years. And what a delight to stand again in this rather formidable pulpit. I was the first one ever to preach in this pulpit. Months ago, Bill invited me to preach today. The date was to be April 30. My response to Bill was, on April 30, I'm preaching at Grace Church in Amherst, which I served as an interim about 20 years ago, and I'm preaching there in celebration of their 150th anniversary. How unlikely to be invited to preach at two 150th anniversaries, both on the same date. And as you can see, an alternate date was easily arranged for me to be here. It did give me reason to say, what was going on in 1867? And so I began to look back a little bit. 8 years earlier, Darwin published The Origin of Species. That stirred up very lively discussion, especially in the religious community that was largely defensive. But shortly thereafter, some Anglican theologians and biblical scholars appeared, and they called into question in some essays the historicity of parts of the Bible, in particular those passages in Genesis that were so challenged by Darwin. That was going on about when you were founded. Still, other scholars were raising questions of a different sort about liturgy. And they were dealing in some depth with liturgy, but the things that largely stood out were such things as, is it appropriate to have a vested choir? Well, maybe not in summer, but in winter. And that was a hot subject of debate. Should there be candles on the altar? Should the procession be led by a processional cross? Or was this much too churchy? And those were lively debates. Less academic, less ecclesiastical, but more life-changing, Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone in 1867. That got me thinking. Chelmsford, Amherst, a distance, but not far by phone. Could there have been a conversation? Could Anna Eliza Hunt in Chelmsford talk to Mary Jones, who was instrumental in the Grace Church founding, and talk together about the need for religious communities where they live? Both were instrumental in the founding of those two churches, All Saints and Grace Church. In any case, these women in two different communities were prime movers in the beginning of my two favorite parishes. And we now celebrate the roots of their work. On to the gospel for the day. The kingdom of heaven is like, and we're given a picture of the realm of God, typically in sharp contrast to life as we know it. God is in charge, and God is generous. The owner of the vineyard says, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? Indeed, some of us have our own ideas about how God should manage things, but God will be generous as God chooses. In the parable, God's generosity is experienced differently. And that suggests it's something more than generosity as at issue. So we will explore the parable and note the careful phraseology throughout. The story goes like this. You just heard it, but I'll sum it up. the grapes are ripe. They need to be harvested now before they are too ripe. The vineyard owner hires workers for, quote, the usual daily wage, unquote. As the day progresses, it is clear that he needs more workers in the vineyard and hires more at several different intervals and says, I will pay you whatever is right. That's a little different. Pay you whatever is right. The end of the day comes and it is time to pay the laborers. He gives instruction to his manager, give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first. Why this order? Partly to build suspense, partly to make a point. And the point is reiterated at the end of the gospel, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. So, those who were hired at 5 o'clock received, quote, what is right, unquote, which turns out to be, quote, the usual daily wage, unquote. What a happy surprise to work 1 hour and get paid for a full day's work. Those hired earlier, very observant as the pay was dispensed, await their pay with eager expectation. If those working only 1 hour got a whole day's pay, imagine what we're going to get, a real bonus for working a longer day and in the heat of the day. They too, however, received, quote, the usual daily wage, unquote. There were cries of not fair. I tend to agree. I expect you tend to agree as well. The owner of the vineyard says, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for, quote, the usual daily wage, unquote? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? But we all say, not fair. So what are we to do with this? First, we need to agree it's not a case study in fair labor practices, nor is it a parable of wealth redistribution. It's a parable of God's kingdom, and it holds within it principles about life in the church. Then, first of all, then, the religious institution of the day was well established. It had been in the vineyard since early morn, but it was entrenched. It was in a rut. It was stuck. It was no longer adaptable. And it was time to call new leaders into the vineyard, even late in the day. And Jesus therefore called some very unsenior, very inexperienced workers to the vineyard. Not only were they untested, but many were indeed rejects of society, outcasts, marginal people. They were, however, receptive and responsive. Unlike those with seniority, they had little invested in life as it is, and therefore little to lose in following Jesus. That's then. Let me try to translate that in some way to today. And I'll speak personally. I hear in this parable good news and bad news. I'll start with the bad news. I was ordained 63 years ago, and the parable is telling me that the newly ordained today count just as much as my voice in the life of the church. I'm a lifelong Episcopalian. The presence of a newcomer to church today is as valuable as my presence. I was baptized 88 years ago. The child you will baptize this year is just as important in the kingdom as I am, as a child, not just as a grown-up. So the message is, the bad news is, seniority counts for nothing. Are there any other seniors here today? There's good news along with that. The good news is, it doesn't depend on me or you seniors. Fresh voices speak, fresh ideas abound, and blended with mine, we go forward. The good news is that the parable is telling me that God is more interested in where we're going than where we've been, even as we value 150 years. So, a few thoughts for today, 150 years. We have a rich history at All Saints, but we are indeed like the worker hired at the end of the day. We're new to the vineyard, given the lifespan of the church. Over 20 plus centuries, it's been a highly varied life that the church has lived. At times, the church has been powerful, sometimes in league with the state. At other times, the church has been persecuted, as is true in some places today. At times, the church was successful and popular. There was a measure of that during my day in this place. At other times, the church was defeated and discouraged. At times, the church is ignored and seen as irrelevant, maybe by many today. All that is part of our very rich history. As we consider that history, we do well to listen to some of the words in the collect for today, to contemplate what to hold on to and what to let go of. The collect reads, "Even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those things that shall endure." That is our task today. We're going to sing a hymn during the communion, number 302. It's a hymn whose text comes from an early Christian document dating back to about the 2nd century, a document called the Didache. It's a teaching about discipleship in the church, titled The Way of Life and the Way of Death. The hymn points to the Eucharist as that which nourishes us in the life of, in the way of life. As you sing it, I want you to imagine the church at the 2nd century, and all of those centuries that followed, including your 150 years. Let that 2nd century text become a 21st century text. A portion of the hymn, "Watch o'er thy church, O Lord, perfect it, that is, make it whole in thy love, unite it, cleansed and conformed unto thy will. As grain once scattered on the hillsides was in this broken bread made one, so from all lands thy church be gathered into thy kingdom by thy Son." Words of affirmation at 150 years. Amen.